Kyrie. Preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. Ready? Preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, it's funny, my dad forgot that it's his week to preach. Just joking. I should have waited a little longer to see him squirm. If you have any cellular devices, please turn them off at this time. Praise the Lord. We don't want to have those unholy interruptions. Praise the Lord. You want to turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6 this morning.
If you don't have a Bible, we have one for you. Just raise your hand if you need a Bible. Sit one back of your pool.
Genesis chapter 6.
That's on page number 6. Oh, I'm sorry. Page 4. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll give you one. Page 4 in our Bible.
Genesis chapter 6.
Hallelujah.
Genesis chapter 6. When you have a say, amen. Praise the Lord. Looks like my son wants to be a little pain in the butt this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. We ask that you open up your word, Lord, that we might hear and that we might believe and that we might have a better understanding of who you are. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 6. I hope all y'all know where Genesis is. It's the first book of the Bible. Amen. Genesis chapter 6. And the word of God reads, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. So there were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord, and that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shall make thou in thy ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and pitch it without the pitch, and in this fashion thou shalt make it of. The length of ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth shall be 50 cubits, the height shall be 30 cubits. A window shall thou make in the ark, and a cubit shall thou finish it above, and a door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with lower and second and third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein the breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that is in the air shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and so shalt thou come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, Two of every two sort thou shalt bring to the ark to keep them alive with thee, that they shall bring male and female, of the fowls and of their kind, of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee and keep them alive. And thou shalt take thee of all the food that is there eaten, thou shalt gather to thee, and thou shalt be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all God had commanded him. So he did. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou, all thy house, into the ark. Thee have I seen righteous before me in thy generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take by sevens, and the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of the fowls of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made I will destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all the Lord. Noah did according to all the Lord had commanded him. This morning, I would hope that we are all familiar with the story, story of Noah. I read it there so that if you didn't know what it was, that you could be informed. And so many times I'll ask a question, and I'll ask this morning to see how many Bible scholars we have here. How many of each animal did Moses take with him on the ark? How many of each animal did Moses take with him on the ark? Praise the Lord. Someone has ears to hear. He said, Moses, see, y'all got to get back in the book. I don't remember reading Moses took anybody up on the ark, but it was Noah, praise the Lord. That's how quick and subtle the devil is. You just twist one little word and be a whole other ball game. But the Bible says that he took two of every kind, but seven of every kind that was clean and unclean. And I want you for a moment to just think of what you might have done had God told you to build an ark. This morning I'll be ministering on a message simply entitled, There's Something About That Ark. There's Something About That Ark. This morning I want to get across and get an understanding very clearly. God has not called us to understand everything, but to believe.
Amen.
God has not called us to understand everything, but to believe.
Amen.
Before the flood came, some scholars believe it had never rained, because Hebrews says that Noah by faith did things which were not yet seen. He believed God. Being warned of things which were to come, he believed God. And some believe that the flood was the first time that it had rained. So take a man that may have never seen a raindrop in his lifetime and say, go build an ark. The most monstrous thing that had ever been built. In modern day, they didn't even try to build a ship that big until the 1970s. We're talking about days with no electricity. no nice metal hammer or things like that. Just imagine one day God calling you and telling you to build an ark. But there was a reason and a purpose behind it. We read the scripture this morning, and how many times did we see the condition of the world? It was corrupt. It was ungodly. God made man in his own image and likeness. We were made for his good pleasure, but the creation had turned against the Creator.
Amen.
And therefore, God was left with no choice but to destroy it. Because the God that we serve, though he is loving and kind and merciful, he will destroy the ungodly. And that's the bottom line. There's coming a day in which God will destroy the ungodly. So Noah, 2 Peter, Peter says that Noah was a righteous man and that he was a preacher. 2 Peter 2 and 5 says, And spare not the old world, but save Noah and 8 persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly. But I want you to understand the condition of the world. There were angels, perhaps fallen angels, that had intermingled with the mankind, and there were these giants, Goliaths, in the earth. And there was just a perversion. It was so different than what God had made it. Amen?
Amen.
It was totally different than what God had made it. For me, for instance, I believe that in times past when God said, let me go ahead and make Adam in the womb, God might have envisioned for my life to be skinny and fit and trim and ripped with muscles. And there's quite a perversion away from that today, isn't there? I'm big-boned. But what I want you to understand is this. When God made the world, he made it with good intention. He made the world to be a little heaven on earth. He made it perfect in every way. But when you allow flesh to remain, when you allow man to do what man wants to do, the end of it is going to be death. The end of it is going to be destruction. It came to such a way that God said that he repented, that he was sorry that he made man. Have y'all ever been in a sorry relationship that you never wish you had been in?
Oh, yeah.
And if we repented you that you ever entered into such a relationship, I think we all can understand that. But imagine God in heaven. He's looking at his creation, what he took him 7 days to make. And the judgment of it is coming, amen. But the word of God says that Noah found grace. Noah found grace. Noah was about 600 years old when he had an ark. The first time Noah was mentioned in the Bible, he was 500 and some years old. But when he's mentioned again, he was about 600 years old. Imagine God telling you to make an ark that is the size of 569 railroad cars. Do you know how long you'd be waiting at that crossing if you had to wait for 569 railroad cars to pass you? This was a monstrosity type of construction. And some think it took them 120 years or 100 years to build. But just imagine, you're building without understanding why you're doing it. You're building without understanding why you're doing it. And I imagine there were people coming up to Noah saying, "What are you and your sons doing? What are y'all stupid flood rain? What are you talking about, you dummies? You're wasting all this wood, you're wasting all your time, but there are things God will call you to do that natural man will not understand. There are things that God will speak to you that if you tell someone else, they might think that you're foolish. Moses, go take these Israelites across the desert and trust in me. Moses, go take these millions, 4 million Jews out of Egypt, and there's no stores, there's no McDonald's. There's just the desert, the sun, and me." And let me tell you something this morning. When you have God as your rock, when you have God as your Lord, and you follow him, no matter what he may call you to do, he will be there to back you up.
Amen.
So Noah goes into the building of this ark. And some scientists and scholars say, well, how could he have? How could God have bought all these animals? Do you realize how many species of animals there are? Hundreds of thousands. Hundreds of thousands of every creeping, crawly thing, of every bug, centipede, things you might not like to see. But here's what I want you to understand, the roach too. Every creeping thing. Think for this for a second. Before Adam and Eve had sinned, animals got along, didn't they? Before Adam and Eve had disobeyed God, the tiger didn't kill the sheep. The tiger didn't hunt down the gazelle. The tiger just ate grass. What I want you to understand is, if I'm a man, and God tells me to get some tigers, 7 pairs, and God tells me to get 2 more, and God tells me to go get the lions and the bears and the crocodiles and everything that lived on the earth, it was a supernatural time.
Amen.
It was a supernatural phenomenon. And what I want to tell you this morning is that when you're in the ark, there is peace. When you're in the ark, everything is how it should be. We can't even begin to think of how God was able to preserve these animals. Have you ever been to the zoo? Do you know how much food an elephant eats in a day? Do you know how much food they consume? Hundreds of pounds. What I want you to understand is some things we can't understand. But nevertheless, we are called to believe. Imagine you tuck your wife in at nighttime. You're going to hear some noise. My wife, she's paranoid. I can see it now. Honey, there's a tiger. There's a tiger trying to get me. But in the ark, there is peace. In the ark, there is provision. In the ark, there is the right way. When God told Noah to do this, he did it. It says Abraham, or not Abraham, but Noah, did according to all the Lord had commanded him. And this ark is a type of the cross. This ark is a type of the church. You see, the church is incomparable to take Jesus and to try to figure out exactly everything he did. We cannot even comprehend all the things that Christ did. We can't comprehend how God Almighty, through his Son, can just save the entire world by people simply believing in him. There's just something about that ark. Everything that God wanted to be saved had to come into the ark. Every single thing that God wanted to preserve had to come into the ark. And God didn't matter if it was clean or if it was unclean. You see, when it comes to God, when he calls people out of this world, when he calls them, all he's asking is for people to believe and to follow. Noah was telling people left and right, the flood is coming. The flood is coming. There is a cubit in the ark for you. There is room in the ark for anybody or any creeping thing or any living thing that wants to come. Amen. But people today, we are in a world that is in the day of Noah. The world is corrupt in every single way, shape, and form. There is judgment coming. And as the church, we must be the Noahs. We must be the righteous to say, neighbor, guess what? In just a few days' time, God is going to come back and destroy this earth. Noah gave that warning, and people thought he was crazy. But there was only 8 souls out of how many that survived? 8 souls out of how many survived? Do you think of what would have happened had Noah not believed God? There are people all around you that don't believe in God. Do you think God will spare them any differently than he spared those that didn't believe? Do you think he will? No, that's why we have to tell people that the flood is coming. That in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet sound, we will see the Son of God come upon this earth. And he said to the Lord after the flood, he told Noah that he'll never again destroy the earth with water. But for us Bible scholars, we know that the second time around, God is going to destroy this earth with fire. Amen. There's something about that ark. There is no reason, there is no hindrance to stop your family from being saved. I believe that Noah was determined. I'm sure he had some doubters in his crew. Shem and Jacob, they might say, Dad, you are crazy. What are you doing building this big old structure? When they first saw that raindrop fall, I bet you they believed. There's going to be a lot of people that believe after it's too late. There's going to be a lot of people that believe after the ark has been shut up. There's going to be a lot of people that wish they had believed when the time comes. So as a church, as the body of Christ, we must tell people about the ark of God. We must tell people that there is a way out. We must tell people that the flood is coming again. But there's good news. There's good news. God does not discriminate on your age. He does not discriminate on your skin color. He does not discriminate on your financial background. He does not discriminate on your education level. He does not discriminate on the clothes that you wear. The only thing that he discriminates by is the blood of Jesus. Whether you believe it or whether you don't. Whether you accept it or whether you won't. But I've got good news for those that have an ear to hear. The fire is coming, but the ark still stands. There is still time to get in. You see, it's a funny thing about the ark. There was but one door to it. There was but one way into it. And do you know what else is funny about the ark? There was no mention of how it was going to be lit. You realize it would have been a dark ark? There weren't any lights strung. There wasn't but one window. But we're going to a city where there will be no need for light. We're going to a city where Jesus is the light. It happens to be that my belief that when God shut the ark up, there was a little bit of Holy Ghost in there. All right. There's a little bit of light in there. Because, you know, God doesn't lead us into a dark place without there being light. Amen. There is but one door to the ark. Heaven is a vast place, and there are many ways to see heaven. But there's only one door by which we may enter. And that is through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the door of the sheep. No man entereth but by me. There's something about that ark. The ark was a symbol of the R-A-I-N to come. Hear me? The ark was a symbol of the rain to come. The cross of Christ is the symbol of God's reign to come. R-E-I-G-N. We have to tell people to get in. I believe that Noah probably had some friends, probably had some co-workers, maybe had some uncles and relatives that just thought he was a fool. And there may be some of you that have been trying to tell people about Jesus. And some of you might have been trying to tell people you need to come to church so that you can learn the things of God. And there may be some of you that have gotten discouraged and have given up. The ark still stands. The ark still stands. The ark was a warning for people. And the church, we are to be that same warning for people. And we have to be able to tell people that no matter what it is, you have to believe God. He has not called us to understand everything. I don't understand how a sinner can be turned white as snow, but through the blood of Jesus. I don't know how you can come to God one way and God make you a whole another way because of Jesus. For the life of me, I don't know how a potato grows in a garden, but I eat them. When's the last time y'all had a watermelon? Sweet and red and juicy. And you really thought there for a long time and said, man, I wonder how that little seed becomes this big old watermelon. When was the last time when y'all just sat down and contemplated that for about an hour? Just looking at a watermelon seed saying, man, oh man, how did this little tiny seed turn into this big old humongous watermelon? Anybody think like that? How many of you have actually sat and thought about that? But when it comes to coming to church, or when it comes to reading your Bible, well, let me think about that. Let me see here. We contemplate the things that we should not, and don't contemplate the things that we should. When it comes to God, stop asking so many questions and get on in. Stop asking so many questions and get on in. Because whether we believe it or not, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. God put the old things. He allowed literally the old things to be passed away. And the only thing that remained was Noah and the eight that were spared. Ask yourself, why did Noah find grace in the eyes of God? We know that there is none righteous, no, not one, not even in his day. Why is it that Noah found grace and others did not? What was so significant about Noah that out of all the millions of people that this one individual found grace? Because in a multitude of chaos, there's always a Shadrach, there's always a Meshach, and there's always a Abednego. Are we that remnant? Or will we follow the way of the world? It's easy to follow the way of the world, amen?
Amen.
I was talking with this Muslim about a week ago, and he was boasting in that Islam is the fastest growing church in the world. He's like, we're the fastest growing religion in the entirety of the world, and all this. And I was talking with him, and I said, you know what? I want to tell you a story. There's this fly once. And this fly was rolling around, just doing what flies do, zoom, zoom, going around. And he saw a whole group of flies. He saw a whole bunch of flies just dancing. And the fly thought to himself, that's a party. It's a fly party. I want to go be a part of it. So the fly, he saw the big mass and he thought it was great. And he flew down and it got stuck. They were trying to get off the fly trap. Just because something looks attractive, just because something looks good, it can be a trap just like anything else. We have to hear the clear voice of the Lord so that we can avoid danger. Otherwise, just like millions of people are going down the false way, they'll get stuck and end up dead.
Amen.
They'll be stuck and end up dead. That's why we need Ezekiel's. That's why we need Jeremiah's. That's why we need Daniel's. That's why we need the Christians and the John the Baptist to stand up and say, hey, you fly. It looks good, but it's a trap. Let me point you to the ark. Let me point you to safety. Let me point you to Jesus. God is coming back soon, church. I can see the fire falling as is. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Sin had run rampant. Every day I turn on the news, and I was coming to church this morning, and I don't know what caused my wife to say it, but she said, people just don't have morals anymore. There's no longer a standard of right and wrong. The lines are becoming so blurred. Homosexuality is okay to be gay. What does the Word of God say? We must tell people about the ark. Because the bottom line is people are lost because they haven't heard. People go to these other places and these other religions 9 times out of 10 because they have not heard. It's comfortable once you're in the ark. You feel like you don't have to do nothing. You got provision. You got healing. You got everything you think you need. But you have to be concerned about your fellow man.
Amen.
How many of us have been the Good Samaritan to someone that was just down and out? How many times have we just gone up to a person and just given them love? Because by showing love, we point to the ark.
Amen.
By showing love, we point to Jesus. By giving a helping hand, we say, I'm doing this on behalf of my Savior and my Lord Jesus Christ. There's something about that ark. There's something about the ark. Let me tell you something that's just a fun fact. The ark was constructed in such a way that it could not be capsized. The church is made in such a way that no matter what storms may come, no matter what things might happen, it's virtually impossible for the church to fail.
Amen.
Shipbuilders today look back at the specifications and keep in mind, there's no schools of education or schools of mathematics to say you have to do it such this way and such this way. There was such foreknowledge in the construction of it that the mathematics are used today. God knows what he's doing, is what I'm trying to get across to you.
Amen.
God knows what he's doing. Do we trust him?
Amen. Yeah.
Let's trust him. Because whether we believe him or not, it will not change the outcome that's going to happen.
Amen.
How much time do you think is left on this planet? How much time do you think God is going to be long-suffering? Allow people to blaspheme his name and so on and so forth. It took chapter 5 and chapter 6. Right now, the world is in end of chapter 5. Wickedness is great upon the face of the earth. And all flesh is corrupt before the Lord. All flesh. It's time to get our families in. It's time to get our neighbors in. It's time to get our loved ones in. Because the door will be shut. There's coming a day when the door is going to close. Right now, Jesus is standing at the door saying, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. You see, I think some of us need to realize that we're in the ark. Remember the condition of the ark. There was peace. There was no violence and murder. There was no strife. But everything was in harmony, one with another. I ask you this morning, do you have peace in your life? If not, come to the ark. Is there violence in your life? Come to the ark. Just not getting along with your family members? Come to the ark. You see, everything is solved when you come to the ark.
Amen.
Every problem's fixed when you come to the ark. Every burden is taken away when you come to the ark. I bet you there were some enemies that Noah's family had, but when the flood came, the enemy was dealt with. Come to the ark. There is nothing that can happen to you once you're in the ark, because it was pitched within, it was pitched without, it was sealed on the inside, it was sealed on the outside. All you have to do is get in. I want this church to have an ark experience, just to float on the Holy Ghost, just to float on the Spirit, just to know that all your problems have been literally washed away. There is an ark this morning. There is an ark called Jesus Christ, because the cross is the way. The cross is what Jesus came to build.
Hallelujah.
The church, we are here to tell people, guess what? The fire is coming, but I've got a relationship with the fireman, and he'll put out the fire in your life. He'll put out the problem in your life. He'll take your disaster, and he'll take you away. All you have to do is believe in the ark. All you have to do is believe in the one who said, I am the... What was Jesus? He was a carpenter. What do you think he knew how to build? A church. Do you think it would have been anything for him to put some rooms? You see, I think it's funny, because I know we have a mansion coming in heaven. And there were rooms in the ark, and there's room in the ark for you.
Amen.
Can we get a hold of it this morning?
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is the ark.
Amen.
Noah was simply telling people, this is what's going to come. Disaster and history repeats itself. Once by water, now by fire. Don't you want to tell someone? It's coming. And I'll be glad when it comes, to be honest with you. This world is no good. But I looked in my life and I looked at my family members, and I have a lot of family that is not in the ark.
Amen.
I have a lot of family that's just looking at the church, and for whatever reason, they don't come in. They see many structures, hear many words, but they don't come in. Or then you have those that come in for a second and go away. You have to come and stay, amen.
Amen.
You have to come and stay until the flood is over. You see, Noah didn't stay in the ark forever. Just 40 days and 40 nights. Actually, about a year before he actually came out of the ark. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but it was about an entire year had passed before he came out. When we come out of the ark, see, the ark is just a vessel.
Amen.
To deliver us to the promise.
Amen.
The ark was just a vessel to deliver Abraham, or not Abraham, but Noah, to the promise. He was told after they had come out of the ark to replenish the earth. To go and multiply. You see, Noah inherited a land without violence. He was just like Adam and Eve. They were the first ones there after destruction. And if we will allow us to remain in the cross, to remain in the church for our little 40 years, our 40 nights, our 40 days, we will be delivered to the promise. Do you understand this morning? The ark is just a vessel to get you from one place to another.
Amen.
The church is just your vessel to get you from here to heaven. But you've got to stay in. Clarence, you got to stay in. Daquan, you got to stay in. Mr. Wallace, you got to stay in. Paul, you got to stay in. Angie, Mr. Lass, you got to stay in. You got to come in. You got to stay in. Everybody here, you've got to come in. Forgot your name.
Tamara.
Tamara, you got to come in.
Brenda.
Brenda, you got to come in. Miss Evans, you got to come in. Sydney, you've got to come in. What's your name right there? Jamel, you got to come in. Kalia, you got to come in. Ashley, you got to come in. Jenna, Lord knows, we got to come in. Jeremiah, Leah, you've got to come in. I've got to come in and stay. Amen. Did I forget anybody here? Michael, you got to come in. There might just be a we there for you. God is good, amen. He, you know what's funny? Noah was the builder, but who received the blessing? Those that came in. Christ is the builder. He's the cornerstone. And the blessed ones are those that come in. There's just something about that ark. Amen. We must always be aware of our situation. The world is going to be its judgment on itself. It's time to come in, amen. So that the door might be shut and this trial can pass. And for those this morning that have not come in, the door's still open. If there are those that haven't made Jesus your choice, the doors are still open. There's room in the ark for you. We all stand this morning. If you need salvation, you may come. If you've left the ark and you know that what you're seeing is not what you want to see, the ark is open. Jesus is here. If you need salvation, you may come. If you need prayer this morning, you may come.
Surrounded by your glory, why will my heart fear? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing inside. I can only imagine when all I do is forever, forever worship. I can only imagine. worship you. I can only imagine.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Grand Lord. We ask for your continued strength, Lord, and your career blessing be around her, Lord. You know that we have a head that's built around us, Lord. We don't see that.
Well, then we're going to sing up some Jamaican songs. But if we sing them, you got to get out of those seats and you got to dance like you're really from Jamaica. Or your parents were from Jamaica. Parents were from Jamaica. But I want you to be true to who.
That's what we're for. We ask that any hindrance, any burdens, Lord, be gone in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Lord. We ask you to lift them up. Give them your mind and your spirit. Thank you. Amen.
And I just began to talk to God. And I just said this to him. Where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love. Not for grace. Where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see.
You got a hand for it.